Hi, this is Paloma.
And this is Rachel.
And this is Good Girls Don't.
And welcome back.
And guess what?
What?
It's your 17th wedding anniversary.
It is. Today, actually, yes.
Yay. So,
that's kind of crazy.
What night did you get married on?
It was a Saturday. We got married at, I think, 4 p.m.
Okay.
We got
at
married,
Old Ironsides.
We got married at Old Ironsides, which, for those of you who don't know what that is, that's a bar.
Yeah, where I met my husband.
That's where you met your husband. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we got married on the stage. It's a nightclub bar.
And yeah. A nightclub bar.
Because a bar wouldn't necessarily have a stage, but it has live music.
Yes.
And so we got married on the stage. And I'm pretty sure to this day that there are still some relatives who maybe wonder if our marriage is actually legal. Oh. Well. Like, if it actually, like, if it was actually legit in the eyes of like the state of California.
Fair enough, really.
But 17 years later, we're trying to you know, ease their anxieties about that.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
And I'm so glad you're spending it with Bobby and I.
Yeah, that's because you guys are family.
Oh.
Yeah. Aw. So yeah, it's romantic.
Yes.
I don't know, when you hit 17, you're like, what do you want to do? I don't know, what do you want to do?
Go to Bobby and Paloma's and meet those coyotes.
Yeah, kind of.
Well, so we went away this week.
We did.
And apparently we didn't tell anyone.
Which caused a lot of anxiety.
What's funny is I would have never posted anything on Facebook, but so actually I need to tell you this. The reason why we even posted anything on Facebook. So we're in our hotel room and it was kind of, they were kind of set up as like cabins kind of. It was Best Western, but whatever. And so they all surrounded the pool and we were just enjoying ourselves watching the Olympics. And then all of a sudden we just hear this commotion at the pool. And so I go to look out the window because I'm nosy. Mm-hmm. And there's just like 10, 15-year-old boys doing belly flops.
Oh, my gosh. That's 15-year-old boys.
Well, and they're just making a commotion and everything is wild and crazy. And this man, I see him like exit the pool and he walks by and he can see me peeking out of my window. And he looks at me and kind of shakes his head like,
He's like, hey, nosy lady, I'm right there with you.
Exactly. He's like, I had to go.
So your little vacation caused a little anxiety because, oh my God, you didn't tell us that you were going on vacation. How do you not tell me that you're going on? So anyway, what I'm trying to say is you post that, you make some post on Facebook about watching the Olympics at the pool from your hotel room. And I'm like, hotel room? Where are they? Hey, Corey, are Bobby and Paloma out of town? I don't know.
I'm so sorry.
And then I wanted to text you and ask you where you were. And I'm like, no, that's kind of rude.
My jealous girlfriend.
Right. Like, hey, what's up? What are you doing right now?
I feel, you know what? If this ever happens again, I will let you know where I'm going. It's one of those things where we took 2 days off work because we were supposed to go see Bobby's family. We ended up not doing that. We asked Rosalie what she wanted to do. She wanted to go to the beach. And so we took her. And actually, to be honest, I thought we were inviting you. But the closer it got and the more that we hadn't invited anyone, the weirder it got.
To be perfectly fair, it's fine that you didn't invite us. I don't want people to be listening and really think that I'm upset about you guys not inviting us. I was just, you had not mentioned it. So we had just seen you like a few days before. And then all of a sudden I was like, is there something wrong with their house? What happened? What's going on? Why are they having fun someplace? And I don't know about
So here's the funny part about that. We saw you a few days before. And when we came home, I was like, Bobby, did you ask Corey and Rachel if they wanted to go to the beach with us? He's like, no, I forgot. And so I was like, oh, and then just life happens.
I know, life happens.
And then all of a sudden it's like, well, we're going to the beach and we didn't talk to Corey and Rachel. And now it's weird.
Now it's just awkward. But what's more awkward than having a Facebook post?
And then telling you later the thought process behind
it. So I was like seriously sitting there going, well, maybe I'll text her. No, I don't want to text her. And then at one point the night went on and it was almost midnight. And Corey asked me, he's like, well, do you know where they went? I said, I don't know. Maybe I'll text her. And he's like, no, it's too late.
I feel so bad.
It's fine. I'm really glad you guys got away and out of town.
Yeah. So. And you know what? We were, it was just going to be a day trip, but then we're just like, well, what the heck?
I totally get it. I'm only a little bit that clingy.
Okay. But next time I won't go out of town without telling you.
Or at least don't be surprised if I send you a bunch of texts.
You kind of should have. Maybe I should be mad at you. Where were my text messages?
I didn't want to, you know, be intrusive.
That's okay. You have the right to be intrusive.
Okay, next time I'm going to bombard you.
Yes, thank you.
But tell me more. There is something I want to talk about the vacation.
Oh, yes.
I think it's a really important part. The cookies?
Oh, yeah. So on the way there, we were driving and we were in traffic for a while. And a Chips Ahoy truck drives by us with these like gigantic cookies on the side. And Bobby's like, I want those cookies. So we go to Target on the way to our hotel room and Bobby gets Chips Ahoy cookies. My daughter, she just goes and grabs them. We're like, oh, that's kind of cute.
Yeah.
She eats that. But then she just kept doing it. And we didn't stop her because we're like, oh, well, you know, it's vacation. And you know.
So how many does she eat?
So Bobby says 5, but I swear to God it was 10.
I swear to God it was double the number. Did she have a complete sugar high? Was she like bouncing off the bed?
No, because she didn't take a nap that day.
Oh,
so actually
okay.
She ended up going to bed at just a nice time.
Okay.
But the next morning she woke up and like had 4 more. And I try not to be that mom who's just like, you know, whatever. Yeah. But that morning I was like, you know, whatever.
It was vacation.
Yeah.
Vacation cookies don't count. We all know that.
No, they did. They do not count.
Yeah.
Until Monday morning when you're like 5 pounds heavier.
Yeah,
but
you're like,
that's
damn
fine.
It.
So I wasn't trying to be a jerk. My child ate cookies. I'm a bad mom.
It's all right.
Yeah, we're fine.
I let my cats eat a lot of treats.
Okay.
I'm a
I
bad
guess
mom
that's
too.
A thing.
I always give Zoe like 8 greenies at a time
because
she loves them so much.
Are greenies kind of okay?
That's what I tell myself.
I think they're okay. Fine.
She's addicted to them.
Chips Ahoy have like 4 grams of protein.
Oh, okay. That's like healthy.
Yeah. Thank
and if you,
you
times that by 10.
Yeah. So last night, then our friend Ken came over, Bobby's friend from high school. Mm. And every time he comes over, it's just like, I turn into this like frat guy. It's the weirdest thing. He comes over and all of a sudden I'm like, I'm drinking. And yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's that weird.
Well, it is weird because every time he comes over, I'm like, okay, not tonight. I'm not going to do it.
Because I was going to say, I've seen frat boy pull up before.
No. I'm like, Ken's going to be here. I'm just going to just hang out.
It's futile.
Yeah. Anyway.
Give up the ghost.
But I think anyone that has eyes and ears deserved a drink this week.
Yeah. 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 I mean, I don't even know where to start.
Just start.
Okay. Help.
Tell me about the Second Amendment people.
Those Second Amendment people?
Who are those people?
Okay. Yeah. So Trump. So here's the thing. So Trump gave us, first of all, he gave a speech on Monday. He gave an economic policy speech. And I was listening to it at work and he was so on script that I was just like, and I hate the sound of his voice, which I realize is petty, but I finally just turned it off. But apparently I turned it off before he said titties. Did you catch
what?
That?
Okay, wait, Renan. What?
I can't believe you didn't hear this poem.
He said titties?
He said titties. So
I barely say titties.
So, and I'm really mad that I turned it off before he said that. He was talking about, I honestly can't remember what the exact quote was, but he's talking about bringing jobs to cities. I think that was it. But he said bringing jobs to titties. And when I saw the actual clip of it, I was like, I had heard that's what he said. I'm like, oh, you know, people are probably just exaggerating it sounded like that. And then when they played it, I was like, holy,
he said titties.
He actually said titties. you're this potentially our future president. Said titties in an economic policy speech. So there you have it, folks. So that was Monday.
Right.
But so that was Monday. And titties aside,
okay.
I was thinking, wow, you know, they really got to him. He is staying on message. He is just like,
Rachel.
They sedated him. It happened. They have had the intervention and Trump is good to go. Trump 3.0 is, you know, locked and loaded.
Watch out now.
So speaking of locked and loaded, so then Tuesday, he has a rally, and I don't know. What was the exact quote? He said, Hillary wants to take your guns away. And
oh, well, she's going to appoint. Well, he didn't say appoint. He said she's going to choose your judges.
Supreme Court justices.
And there's nothing you can do about it. Well, there's something the Second Amendment people can do about it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I like it ends everything with, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Many people are saying.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, and probably most people who are listening to this have heard by now that
I
statement.
I hope so.
But I was really, like, there's footage of the rally and there's a guy behind Trump at the rally who's like, whose jaw just sort of drops
to the
ground.
I'm so glad you saw that too, because it kind of gave me, it's like this little glimmer of hope.
His jaw just drops and he turns and looks at his wife and you can kind of see him and go, whoa, like, I can't believe he just said that.
Well, the thing is, like, apparently he has been able to explain this away, but there's no way.
Just joking.
Well, because the thing is, he's like, they need to vote.
First he said that he was trying to mobilize his voters to, you know.
But the context was if she was already president.
Right. So, you know, he was basically, here's the thing. I won't even go as far as to say that he was actually encouraging violence against Hillary
Clinton.
You're
not calling it a dog whistle.
Right. But I think if that was a joke, you know, let's say that is a joke, because it's in all likelihood he was just being flippant. I think he was being flippant, but it's so out of line for what somebody who's running for president should be. That's like, you don't do that. You don't. And here's, even if he's being flippant, some of his followers might hear it as a dog whistle and react accordingly. And that's the thing that's really scary. And what I thought was interesting is that the Secret Service actually tweeted, in response to his comment, they had a tweet about, we've heard the comments. I'm like, okay, when the Secret Service feels the need to weigh in on the conversation, then
I was shocked that actually
I was shocked that he would consider that an appropriate remark, joking or not. But joking seems to be his fallback. Like, I was just kidding. Like, you know.
Well, wait. So speaking of that, he has not said that it was a joke that he called Obama the founder of ISIS.
No, he yesterday I think he did.
Oh, he did.
He finally said he was being He said he was being sarcastic.
Oh,
and apparently
but that's not sarcasm, actually.
You know what, Paloma? I think you maybe have hit the nail on the head here.
I mean, if we're going to talk about the definition of sarcasm,
I don't think Trump knows what the definition of sarcasm is, and that folks is kind of ironic.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so anyway, so that's sarcasm now.
He was being sarcastic about that.
No, because somebody actually asked him what he meant, and he said,
I saw that interview. The guy was like, oh, I know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say that Obama created policies.
Yeah.
And no, that's what I meant. He founded ISIS. You guys, this is the world we're living in right now. It's 2016, and this is the political discourse that we have.
And Rachel, you know this. I like to accept people's political beliefs. And I don't automatically hate Republicans or conservative people. I always listen and I want to learn things about other people.
Same.
But the Trump thing, I can't.
Well, so that brings me to, I have a family member whom I love very dearly, who has taken to forwarding me all of those of Democratic conspiracy emails. They're always like in all caps with a lot of exclamation points, and they're all about, like,
you're killing me.
All of the awful things that Hillary has done or that Bill has done. And so I realize this is probably not a healthy way to deal with it, but I've taken to fact checking them.
Oh, that's not healthy, because you know what you're going to see, right?
Well, I'm going to see that there's like, maybe there's like a grain of truth in the information.
There's always a grain.
There's a grain. It's like, oh, that one little nugget right there is true. And then everything else is just conjecture or flat out lie.
Sarcasm.
Or sarcasm. Maybe I don't get it. Yes, I don't get
you
it.
You don't get it.
But I feel like there's a part of me that wants to. So this person who is a relative doesn't live in Sacramento where we are. This person lives in another state. And so it's not somebody who I have a regular conversation with all the time. And I so badly want to, you know, hit reply and just be like, oh my God, what are you doing? I know you have more critical thinking skills than this, but I don't, because I don't want to start an email argument with somebody.
Yeah.
And there's like no point to it.
I know. But, well, because, you know, but here, I think this is the difference, though. Would you ever send an email to a bunch of people who you didn't know exactly what their political beliefs were?
Oh, no, well, okay, A, no. B, yeah. So B, this relative in question sent an email today and was informing me and a couple of other people on the email list that he had gone to go see a couple of movies this weekend, or last week, whatever, okay. The last few days.
He said, wait, it's on an email list, though? Okay, sorry.
And he was like, I went, the other day I went to go see a couple of movies. I saw the new Jason Bourne film, and I saw a documentary called Hillary's Secret. And he's like, I like Jason Bourne, I don't like Hillary. And the email proceeds to go on to say, listen, I don't want to tell anyone how to vote. But this documentary had a lot of good points.
Oh, my God.
And so it goes on and on about how awful Hillary would be as a president. And then it said, now Trump ain't no Jewel. But he's better for the country right now. Okay. And he is the safe risk to take.
No, actually. Actually, to be honest with you, I could see Hillary has her flaws.
Absolutely.
But the thing is, I'm not worried about nuclear war with Hillary.
No.
I'm just not.
Or just starting a war with Mexico or starting a war. Exactly. I mean, just, you know what I mean. It's hyperbole, but, it, you know, just alienating all of the countries. Yes.
Do I think every change is going to happen that I want? No, it's no. not. I mean. Yeah.
But I just.
But the end of our civilization as we know it.
quite possibly. So it just sort of, yeah, there's like this email, just, you know, Trump being the safe risk to take. And this person essentially acknowledging that Trump has, you know, I just thought it was kind of sadly hilarious. It was in quotation marks, Trump, quote, ain't no Jewel, end quote. And I was just like, okay, can we just say what you really mean there? Like,
okay.
Okay. So I, you know what? I'm sorry. I get so enraged.
I know.
It's sad.
I'm enraged.
It's sad. I mean, like, I'm afraid to have conversations with people in public anymore because if they ask me, like, what I've been up to, I think I start to like.
Yeah.
If the conversation veers in that direction, I've become that person.
So okay. So speaking about like people that are awful people, but people accepting it. What about the mean girls at the Olympics?
Okay. Yeah. That's another thing that had me enraged.
Okay, so I was bothered by it too. And it was funny because Bobby, so I trust my husband's judgment on most things. Mm-hmm. Like Bobby tends to take a very objective look at things.
Yeah, Bobby's a very,
he gives me insight that I wouldn't have.
He's
exactly.
very even-handed.
I feel like I come at things from a certain perspective and Bobby's like, well, you have to see this
and
this.
Yeah, think about it this way.
And which is great. I love that about him. But I saw this girl who, what's her name? It's Lily
King.
Lily King.
Swimmer.
And she was kind of.
So the to recap a little bit, one of the first races that she was in last week or so.
She's a swimmer, by the way.
She's a swimmer. And she, and correct me on any details I will probably get wrong. She won her race or won a, maybe it was a semifinal or a race, whatever. And mm-hmm. she, you know. At the end of it, she wagged her finger, number one, like, I'm number one. And she's basically, I think at some point before or after that race, she made a comment about one of the Russian swimmers and how that the woman was a cheater because, like, a year or so ago, she had
that
been...
That's the thing. It wasn't even, like, a month ago. Like, no. This was a year
ago. So a year or so ago, she had been, you know, she had been found to have taken... you know, performance enhancing drugs, whatever, and she got cleared at some point and was allowed to swim in this race. So Lily King, you know, did the whole number one, now I'm not a cheater. And then they had the backstage camera with the Russian swimmer who kind of mocked her and did the number one thing, you know, like kind of back at her. And then Lily King made some more comments. And so to be honest, honestly, up until that point, I was sort of okay with it because mm-hmm. they had an interview with King and, you know, she's like, I don't like cheating and this, you know, we're going to swim clean and I'm not a quiet girl. I'll say what I, you know, I'm not a nice girl. I'll say what I think. And I was like, okay, fine. What bothered me was when they had the race and she came in first, Lily King came in first. And then I don't remember if the other American came in second or third, but the other American medaled and then the Russian swimmer also mm-hmm. medaled. And then during the press conference that they had, the two American girls just completely iced out the Russian girl, like would refuse to acknowledge her, wouldn't look at her. Somebody, she was speaking in Russian and one of the interviewers asked the two Americans if they wanted headphones so that they could, you know, hear what she was saying in English. And they're like, no.
Okay, so here's the thing. What kind of role model are you? Like, that shows poor sportsmanship.
Yeah.
Like, this girl, regardless of what happened to her before, now here she is in this race, and she performed without drugs.
Yeah, and then there's the poor sportsmanship. First of all, I felt like it just didn't really show. And like, you take the high road. You're at the Olympics. Mm-hmm. Take the high road. I was like, okay, you made your statement about not cheating, but you're now, all three of you are winners. Don't be a jerk.
Yes,
don't,
and young girls are looking up to you.
Don't take that mean girl approach. And then I was reading the story yesterday in the New York Times about the history of doping in the Olympics in Russia, and how, and I don't know if it's, there's theories that it is still this way, but back in the 80s, they actually have documentation of instructions that came down from the government instructing.
Well, it is state-sponsored now, right?
Yeah, it is. I don't know if the doping, if there's still the mandate, but there was a mandate that came down from the government instructing them on how much they should be given, like a schedule, like they need to, these are the injections, these are the pills, and you really didn't have a choice if you wanted to participate in that sport. So I'm like, I don't know how it is now. Maybe this girl is just caught up in a system that doesn't give her a lot of opportunity.
I'm not going to. Yeah.
So anyway, I just thought that their behavior was disappointing. It's like, I don't want that to represent me as a country.
No.
You know?
What I was going to say is, I wouldn't tell Putin no.
Oh my God. Can I just pretend I didn't hear that?
No. I just meant like, if you're in a country
you're not talking about.
No, I'm saying if you're in a where
oh, okay,
in a type
so
of
I thought
place.
You were saying you wouldn't tell Putin no, like in bed or something.
Gross. No, I'm saying, like, he scares me.
Okay. I thought this was I wouldn't kick him out of bed moment.
I'm very upset now.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm saying if I were in a
situation. No, I wouldn't tell him no either.
Where it was state sponsored and I have this.
If he rides up shirtless on his horse, you're going to say,
saying,
okay, fine, whatever
I'm like,
you want.
I'll take your drugs. Please don't shoot me.
Yeah. He's supposedly, well, okay, yeah, because this is a guy who's allegedly just like kills journalists because they write things he doesn't like.
See? So, okay, so let me ask you this now. If you had to do it with him to save your life. Okay.
Probably. Sorry, my mind just automatically went to.
I know, I'm really sad now that you think that I was kind of like, well, you know. He's just such a dashing man.
Dashing,
dapper man. I can't say no to him.
Well.
Bleh.
Oh, I don't even know where
we let's
go.
Let's move on.
We need to move on.
I don't
on
even
from...
know how to move on.
Oh, I know what we were going to move on to because we still wanted to talk about the Olympics and sports, and you are taking gymnastics lessons.
Oh, yes.
Which I am excited about
you. So my daughter... So Rosalie has wanted to take gymnastics and then for a while, and I was going to sign her up, and then the Olympics happened, and she's actually been interested, and I hate it that I'm that mom, but anytime she's interested in anything, I'm like, oh, I'm going to go get you everything tomorrow. You're going to have the full setup. So, you know, she takes this active interest in gymnastics. I go sign her up. And I was a gymnast in my teenage years, in my youth. And I always loved it. That's probably, I would say, the only thing I've ever been actually passionate about, besides parenting, I would say. And so I remember in my early 30s, I looked for adult classes because I was like, you know, I want to do it again. But all the adult classes, like, they had an age limit of 26. I'm
You're like,
ooh,
huh, yeah.
Well, yeah.
That's not really.
So I just gave up on that dream. I'm like, you know, this is my... That ship is passed. They're sailed. But so Bobby said, no, where Rosalie goes to school, they have adult gymnastics. I was like, oh, I bet it has a cutoff age. So I went to look, and then they have all these pictures, and it's all these like dowdy, frumpy moms. I'm like, yes!
Awesome.
Like, here I go.
That is like, awesome. I love that. I didn't know until recently that you did gymnastics.
Yeah.
I was a
gymnast.
And I'm impressed, because I, on the other hand, am probably about as unathletic as you could get. However, I had a brief period in elementary school where I flirted with being like a track star.
Oh, but because you have long legs.
I have
see
long
that.
Legs. So I guess I can run fast. I don't really test it out anymore, but I can run fast.
You don't test it out.
I don't actively try to run real fast. But when I was in elementary school, I think I was like fifth or sixth grade. They had us at PE doing some sort of like intra class, like sort of at like athlete meet or something. It was just other classes in my school.
And there was a sprint that it was involved. And I kept winning all of the sprints, you know, against all the other, I think, girls and boys my age. And so the coach got really excited and was like, oh, we're going to have you do track and field, and you're going to do this intramural meet between different schools. Well, that was just it. That's all the training that I got, was the coach going, you're going to go to this intramural meet. So I just still have this vivid memory of, I got shipped off to some school on a Saturday, and I had zero training about endurance or form or anything like that. It was just like, hey girl with the long legs,
go run.
And so while I could do short sprints really well and, like, you know, run really fast, I couldn't do, we had to do some long run around.
You weren't a marathon
runner. No. And it was some really long run. And before we did this run, though, they decided that they wanted to have me compete in the long jump, which I'd never done before.
Oh.
Other than maybe once or twice in gym.
Good at that, though.
Well, so once or twice in gym class, they had us do it. But then without any training, once again, they're like, okay, go compete in the long jump. And they had the long jump on concrete ground on pavement, and it severely, to this day, I have like the most jacked up looking knee. And
really,
I'm glad nobody can see it over the podcast.
Yeah, I'm looking.
Look at it. There's like a weird Frankenstein bump there.
You certainly do have a weird Frankenstein bump, don't you?
You can call it jacked up. It's okay.
Jeez, wee. Yeah. Wow, Rachel.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Boy, you guys don't want to see this.
It's scary.
Yikes.
But yeah, so right after I did the jump, so my knee's hurting and bruised at that point, and then I have to go do this marathon run, and I bombed so spectacularly. Like, I don't even think I came in last place. I just didn't even place at all.
They're just like, just sit down, honey.
No, it's like, just leave her there where she collapsed.
Somebody pour some water on her.
So ever since then, you know, like, I was the girl in high school who was like, oh, I have cramps, I can't do this right now. Or,
bummer.
No, that's okay, I'm gonna say, you know, oh no, I gotta go to the bathroom right now. And just never really liked sports until I switched over to dance class.
Oh, okay.
And then I liked that.
I was athletic until high school, because in high school, so my house burned down between eighth grade and high school. Mm-hmm. And so when that happened, there's just like so much stuff going on. I was like, I'm not trying out for sports. Like, whatever, I'm gonna go, I don't know, whatever it was I did, which was, you know, not nice things.
Huh.
You know, boys and stuff.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know. Probably was nice at the time.
Well, you know, I was a little too young to really understand how I was acting out.
I understand exactly.
But so I've always been athletic, and I've always, you know, liked to do things. And so I'm excited that I have this inspiration to go to gymnastics again. Because honestly, like, just going to work out doesn't necessarily appeal to me. Or it's not exciting, or, you know, it's not sexy.
Yeah.
But, like, actually being able to, like, run and go do a trick, I'm like, yes!
I'm excited for you. And I think it's fun that you're doing it and Rosalie's doing it, too. Yeah. So that's, like, something that you can share.
So my goal is to be able to do a back handspring by the time I'm 40.
All right.
Because I, you know, it's hard. I think I told you the other day, like, I'm still flexible. Like, my body still moves in these ways. But I just, after I had Rosalie, like, she destroyed a lot of my core muscles.
That child.
And so I can't necessarily make my body do the things it used to do. So I have to build back those core muscles. But I'm still flexible, which is good. I'm happy about that.
Well, I'm excited to see you do your tricks. I think it's great.
Will you come to our performance we have, our yearly showcase? Just kidding.
You and Rosalie?
No. I'm kidding. Like, what if they have, like, a piano recital kind of thing?
Oh, hell yeah, I'll go. I'll bring pom-poms.
I have to do my floor exercises for
you. I'll bring pom-poms. I'll cheer you on.
Thank you.
I was on the pep squad once.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
Not
really.
About the pep squad, though, because I didn't... I was... I think cheerleader tryouts. I just didn't actually.
I think
try
they
out.
Took all the girls for pep squad.
Okay, but I mean, did you have to, like?
Yeah, we learned routines. So it was in the seventh grade, and there were eighth grade cheerleaders, and then they actually did have tryouts, but I don't know if they actually turned anybody down.
Okay,
but all the seventh grade girls got to be on the pep squad, so you got to wear the uniform and learn all the cheers, and you
what
got to ride the
uniform?
Bus. It was yellow. It was like gold and navy blue.
But I mean, like a cheerleader uniform?
Yeah, it was like a cheerleader uniform.
Oh, okay.
But just like the baby cheerleaders.
Aw.
Yeah. Yeah, so I did that for a year. We went to football games. And yeah.
I would like for you to reenact that.
I would like to not.
Oh, well, I am. So I'll take lots of video of Rosalie because I'm sure it's going to be adorable.
I think it's going to be awesome. She's a little superstar, isn't she? She's going to be doing gymnastics and she's going to be recording her first single.
Yeah, oh yeah. So, Mr. T Experience is coming out with their new album and she's actually going to be on the album. I think as far as we know right now,
hopefully Rosa's, she doesn't get left on the cutting room floor.
Yeah. But Rosa's going to be in the album and she loved recording. It was so funny. So we had to record with microphone and headphones and everything. And then the next night she's like, are we going to record again?
Oh. Like, oh. I predict great things.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm doing my best here.
She's a character.
But then I let her eat 10 cookies. So I don't know. Maybe I'm an awful mom.
Just read about it in the memoir.
Yeah. Only time. Oh, no.
I'll help her write it.
Well, actually, okay. So now I'm going to tell you something funny because I don't know if I actually told you this yesterday. So we've been doing timeouts. We've had some disciplinary issues at our home. Rosalie has been hitting mommy and daddy and kind of acting out. And we've tried to figure out what it is. We can't really come up with anything. Because there have been different times where Bobby and I have been stressed out about this or that. And if she acts out, we're like, okay, well, this is our fault.
She's
Let's change our behavior.
It, yeah.
But there's nothing in our behavior that we can really change right now. We're like, no, we're good. And so she's been acting out. And so at first it was timeouts. And it'd be like these escalating arguments where we would yell and things would just get worse and she would throw things. It was just hell. So anyway, Bobby one night is like, why don't we just, if she hits us again, let's just cry. So I'm like, yes, that's a great idea. So we did it and like things were great. And it was
like
working.
She responded to
it.
Like she was...
it was, she's an empathetic little girl. So yeah. I was like, she needs to know that it hurts when she does that and that she can't do things like that. So the other thing is she hates it when we're naked. Like it's like last night I went to bed with my nightie on. I took it off in the middle of the night because it was really, really hot. So I wake up naked. The first thing she says to me, mommy, put clothes on. So I'm like, okay. But so the other day she started throwing stuff and hitting and not acting the way she should. And so I just ripped off my clothes as her punishment. I'm like, okay, mommy's
right.
Naked now.
Naked mommy it is.
And so then Bobby's like, oh, you know what? So is dad. And he takes off his shirt and she starts crying.
I am telling you that memoir is going to be.
I know. But you know what? She's shaped right up.
Yeah.
But then it's like, my self-esteem is destroyed now.
No.
My child has to behave to not see my body. So
back on. Aw.
But anyway, that's my life, Rachel.
Yeah. It is.
Huh. Yeah.
All right.
You have anything else to add to that?
I don't think I have anything else to add.
No,
my cats don't care one way or the other.
I kind of feel like this podcast has made me tell people things that, you know, I tend to share. I overshare, but I don't know that I would tell people about the naked punishment.
Now, everybody, all 10 people are going to know,
I know.
About it.
Hopefully number 10's not listening.
Remember, we don't like number 10.
Oh, I feel bad that Becca thought she was number 10.
Becca, you are not number 10.
Becca, you're not even close to number 10.
No, as I said, you're in the top 5 at least.
I'm saying top 2. If we don't count Bobby and Corey.
Okay. Because I was like, shit, I got to go downstairs and explain that one to my husband.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying.
Yeah, Becca, you are definitely not
Husband's
number
excluded.
10.
Becca, you're good.
Yeah. But, all right, but hurry up and watch Stranger Things,
yeah,
so
please.
We can talk more about it later.
Oh, and Sherman Baker, one of our other listeners.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Sherman.
You didn't like it? You didn't like Stranger Things, Sherman Baker.
Yeah. Lame.
I just don't understand.
Yeah.
I trusted him.
I thought I trusted him, and then... Okay, anyway, we are going so far off track because the other 5 listeners are like, what the hell?
They're like, now we're calling out everyone by name.
Yeah. All 10 of you.
Yes. Except for number 10. We'll never name
Except
you.
Except for number 10, the mysterious number 10. What are we going to do if we get an 11th listener?
Ooh. Let's hope that they're not another number 10. Let's hope we get a number like number 3, number 4.
We don't
4.
Need a whole bunch of number 10s.
Yeah, I know.
You number 10s just keep to yourself,
yeah,
okay?
Buzz off. All right. Well,
All
thanks.
Right. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Until next time, Good Girls Don't was produced by Paloma Jordan and Rachel LeBrock. It was engineered by Bobby Jordan and Paloma Jordan.
Yay.
catering provided by Dos Coyote. anniversary cake cooked by Paloma Jordan.
Yes!
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Tasty. And childcare services provided by the usual suspects, Bobby and Corey. Thanks Yay. So much, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.